Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and transfigured Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So today in the book of Deuteronomy, the last book of Moses, the last time you're going to hear about Pisgah and Zoar and all those tough to pronounce places for a little while, we have Moses, okay? And this is the last chapter of the Pentateuch, of the last of the five books of Moses. And we come to the death of Moses, I guess you'd say. Someday you and I will have to die. So let's let Moses be an example to us today. You may have heard, I don't know, that your life passes before your eyes the moment of your death or close to it. I don't know if that's true or not, but just imagine that in Moses' case. In Moses' case, he could see himself in the bulrushes. Remember that? In the Nile River when he was in that basket and then rescued by the daughter of Pharaoh, and then growing up, 40 years growing up, living in Egypt, living as prince of Egypt, in line maybe for the throne. And then that fateful day when he saw an Israelite being mistreated, and he went and murdered that Egyptian and buried him in the sand. How'd you like to see that flash before your eyes? And then having to leave and being thrown out, running away into the wilderness, into the desert. And going into the desert for 40 years and becoming a shepherd. Shepherd of Jethro's flocks. And by the way, marrying Jethro's daughter, Zipporah. And then, towards the end of that 40 years, seeing this vision of, not just a vision, seeing a bush that's burning on the side of the mountain without the leaves of the bush burning up. And going to see that, and then hearing from the burning bush the voice of the angel of the Lord saying, this is my name, Yahweh. And oh, by the way, Moses, I'm sending you back to Egypt, back to the land where you murdered a guy and you're wanted for murder. I'm sending you back to rescue my people from the people of Israel, Israelites, from slavery in Egypt. And then flashing before Moses' eyes, himself standing before Pharaoh, saying, "Let my people go." And then all of the wonders that he did in Pharaoh's court, with when he threw down his staff and it turned into a snake, and the wise men of Pharaoh came and did the same thing, and Moses' snake ate up the other ones. And turning the Nile River red with blood. And all the 10 plagues. I wonder how fast those would flash, you know. The gnats and the frogs, and finally the last plague, where all the firstborn of Egypt died. Well, the firstborn of all those who didn't have the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. And then the great exodus, the great departure from Egypt in our gospel reading, it talked about Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus about his departure from Jerusalem. Jesus' departure. That's the same word, Exodus, by the way, in Greek. Jesus' departure. You kind of wonder if Moses is saying, well, this is what my Exodus was like. Tell me about yours. the great exodus from Egypt. And then going to Mount Sinai again and seeing not a burning bush, but receiving the Ten Commandments from God himself, written with the finger of God in stone. And coming down from the mountain and seeing the Israelites worshiping a golden calf. And then wandering in the desert for 40 years. Sending some spies, 12 spies, off to that promised land, the promised land that he's now looking at, to come back faithfully and say, wonderful land flowing with milk and honey. Can't wait to get there. Let's go! Let's go boldly. And 10 others coming back and saying, we don't want to go there. The people are giants. We're not going to survive. Wonder how fast that flashed. And then wandering for 40 years. 40 years of wandering in the desert. Enough time to write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. 40 years of manna from heaven. 40 years of learning how to worship God with the tabernacle that God gave him the instructions how to. 40 years of all these bloody sacrifices of these bulls and goats and stuff to prepare the people to enter God's presence. 40 years. And 40 years, frankly, of funerals. Here's Moses at the end of his life, of his mortal life, I guess I should say. He's been through the last 40 years of funerals. He's buried his wife, Zipporah. He's buried his sister, Miriam. He's buried his brother, Aaron. He's buried all these people except for Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who came, the two faithful spies. The only people he hasn't buried are the children, the young ones, who were born in the wilderness, on the journey. 40 years of funerals. And now it's time for Moses to die. You might say he's at the edge of life. 120 years old, and his eye was undimmed, even despite all that time in the desert. And his vigor was unabated. Yet it was his time. He's standing on the edge of life. But I don't think that's what happened. I don't think Moses was there looking back at all that stuff in his life. I don't think it was a series of flashbacks. God took him to Mount Nebo, which is a high mountain, so that he could see into the promised land, the land of promise. And God showed him all of the land, way more than you can see physically from Mount Nebo. He showed him there down to the left, that town, little town of Bethlehem, where the chosen one, the promised one, would be born. And he showed him right there down below him the River Jordan, where that promised one, Jesus, would be baptized. And then off to the north, there's Galilee, where Jesus would preach and do wonders greater than Moses' wonders of healing and walking on water and changing water into wine there in Galilee. And then not too far away, he could see the mountain where Jerusalem is built, not quite as high as Mount Nebo, where Jesus would go one day to suffer and die for Moses and for you and for me. For all those times where we were unfaithful, where we disobeyed God, where we did things like Moses did, striking the rock when just out of anger, which is why he didn't go into the promised land. To forgive all those things for you and for me. He could see the land of that promise. Moses wasn't looking behind, he was looking ahead. He was looking ahead to what God had promised and what he's showing Moses, his promise, the promise of the chosen one, the promise of the one who would be even greater than Moses himself, the promise of the one who would come to fulfill all of those Ten Commandments for you and for me who can't. And there in Jerusalem, there is that empty tomb that Jesus would rise from too, giving the promise of eternal life to Moses and to you and to me. That promised land. That promised land that Moses gets a glimpse of, the land of promise, eternal life, with Christ our Savior. That same Christ that he sees on the Mount of Transfiguration, oh, that's probably up here a little bit, with Moses and Elijah. And there stands Jesus in the center, with Moses and Elijah, the Old Testament, you would say, and the New Testament with Peter and James and John, the prophets and the apostles, one holy Christian church centered in Jesus Christ. Christ alone is left on that mountain. The promise is left alone for you and me. What is that promise? A promise of eternal life with him in the new heavens and the new earth. That he comes to redeem and assures you that when you stand on the edge of life, you have a new promise to look forward to of eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May God grant this to us all through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now may the grace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.